Live from the Average Joe Nation studios in St. Clair, Missouri, this is the Average Joe Podcast, a show that proves that in this crazy world, a combination of common sense and a C-plus average is actually a superpower. Sure, he's crazy, but what if he's right? Please welcome your host, Damon Gilbert.
All right. Hey, you in the back row. Settle down back there. We're going to have trouble if you don't settle down. Like my old man said, if you don't settle down, we're going to turn this car around. Don't make me come back there, right? Or as my mother used to say, you wait until your dad gets home. Actually, that's not true. When I was younger, and I don't know about how it worked in your house, but my mom was the disciplinary, okay? You got a, what, you remember the old fly swatters, the ones that were made out of wire? I used to get that on the back of my thighs, my calves, yeah. Dad didn't have to get home. No, Dad, you just worried about what Dad might do. I knew what my mother would do, so let's settle down. I know I haven't been here for a day, so, and what has happened in that day? Let me think, what has happened in that day that I skipped? Oh, that's right. Someone decided that running against Donald Trump wasn't a good idea. Mr. DeSantis dropped out. What was it, Sunday? Yeah, because it's Tuesday today. So I've actually missed 2 days. I apologize for that. Had a lot going on, working on taxes, that kind of thing. So when I do go live and and I do this on a regular basis, it will be every day. I'll make sure of it. And we'll have a time frame to work around so you guys know when to look me up. Ron DeSantis decided to drop out Sunday. I think that was probably the wise move. He does not want to go into Super Tuesday and get his ass handed to him in Florida. So he's the smart one of the group. He saw the writing on the wall. And he did the right thing. I've come back into the DeSantis camp somewhat. I don't know about you, but I have, because he did the right thing. He withdrew his name from the race, and he immediately endorsed Trump, which I think was a wise move. It really was, because now you look at it as a possibility. Is it possible that Donald Trump could pick him to be his running mate? It's possible. I'm not saying it will happen. Ideally, that would be the thing to do, because you look at it this way. He's a governor, and he would be a vice president for 4 years, and he would have experience in the White House. He would have experience with foreign policy, and he could move right into that and run in 2028. And I'm sure Trump is telling him, hey, I will endorse you 100%. And that would be the way to go. I think Ron made a good decision. I like him. I like him more now. There was a time there when I was starting, my feelings for him were beginning to sour somewhat. I was not the biggest fan of his because some of the things he said. But then again, you got to remember it's politics. All's fair in politics and war, right? So we got that said. I think he'll do fine. He's going to go back down to Florida and run his state for the next couple of years. I think he will be an asset to the Trump administration if we get another one. He's well liked in his state, but the problem is he wouldn't have beat Trump down there. So he knew that. Now Nikki Haley, on the other hand, and by the way, this is late in the evening. After the primaries in New Hampshire. Interesting things happening in that realm as well. Nikki did not get his beat by as much as I thought she would, but then we find out throughout the evening, and this was being reported on by CNN, we find out that, now, you got to remember this is an open primary. That means it doesn't matter what company or what party you're affiliated with or what party you're registered under, you can vote under any party you want. And so a lot of Democrats came over because Biden was a write-in candidate, and basically New Hampshire doesn't mean anything to the Democrats. So a lot of the Democrats came over and voted for Nikki Haley. And they're saying that 70%, now this was CNN reporting this, And I guess they did a poll or they did an exit poll. I'm not sure how they came to this conclusion, but CNN has said that 70% of Haley's votes were actually Democrats crossing the aisle and voting for her. Now, if that's actually accurate, and let's just say let's say it's not, and let's say it's 50%. That is an ass kicking, folks. If you take out that amount of people from the group that she garnered, the votes that she garnered in this election, she got her ass handed to her. And yet she has the audacity to stand up there and say that this fight is not over. I think she's a lunatic. I think she's been paid to do this. I think they're trying to do their best to see that she gets as far down as she can. I've actually heard rumblings that if she shows well enough, that Trump would have to consider her as a vice president. I think that's ludicrous. I don't think he would ever do that. I would lose a lot of faith in him if that actually happened. So I guess we'll see what the coming weeks have in store, because we've got South Carolina coming up. Now, you're going to hear a lot of talk about her, and she's already played the race card. She's played the gender card. She started to attack Trump about his age. Numerous things. Now, she's never brought up that she's an adulterer. She's never brought up that she's as corrupt as they come, that she's part of the problem, not the solution. She's a neocon. She's never seen a war she didn't want someone else to fight for her. She's a warmonger. She is a younger version of Hillary Clinton. I don't want that in the Republican Party. I don't know about you, but I don't want her anywhere near the White House. I think it was a mistake having her become ambassador to the UN. I think that was a mistake. I think that was one of Trump's many, many errors that he made. So who do we think, and getting back to tonight's fiasco or ass kicking, Trump gave a speech. I watched part of it. I think he needs to reconfigure how he does this. I think he needs to start thinking more strategically. And what do I mean by that? Well, I listened to his speech tonight, and he spent a lot of time on Nikki Haley, talking about her. I personally think that's a mistake. You've got people there working for you. Vivek Ramaswamy is a perfect example. You have people that can go out and attack her. Give that job to them. Don't do this on your own. Don't use emotion. You're going to end up being that mean, hateful, misogynistic man that they've claimed you are all along. They've claimed you that way from the get-go. Remember grabbing by the pussy? Remember that whole thing? Just don't mention her name. If I could give Mr. Trump some advice, I would suggest from this day forward, you announce, he should have done it tonight. He should have announced that this race is over. We're moving on to the next bracket, and that is Joe Biden. We have to beat him. Because at the end of the day, what you're wanting to do, and a friend of mine and I were talking about this tonight, and he's 100% right. You have to defeat Joe Biden and the Democratic Party. How do you do that? You have got to bring over independents and undecideds into your camp. That's what you have to do. Now, mind you, independents and undecideds at this point are not the brightest people in the world if they haven't made a decision at this point. If you're still on the fence, then you haven't been paying attention. So you have to get these people. You have to coerce them, to ask them, to invite them over to your side. Prove to them that you can do something that will help them in their lives. That's all you got to do. So my advice to Donald Trump and that campaign is to not mention Nikki Haley's name again, ever. From this day forward, you are not running against her. You are running against Joe Biden and the Democratic Party, the lunatic left. That's what you have to say. That's what you have to do. Dismiss her out of hand. Don't even mention her name. Have Vivek do that. Have your hitmen do that. You've got people paid to do this. And Ramaswamy is a good, he's excellent at it. He can take a shot at somebody. That's what you want to do. Distance yourself from this. Take the high road. Be the class act. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking. Now, is it going to hurt you overall? No, because there's a lot of time left. But I think this is something you need to really work on. You need to quit talking about what you did exclusively. That you can't do that. Donald Trump does not need to talk about what he did in the past. He can mention it along with what he's going to do for you. That's what we're interested in. We're not interested in the past, Don. We're interested in what you're going to do for us from this day forward. What can I look forward to under a Trump presidency? What can I hope for? How is it going to make my life better that you're president and Joe Biden's not? That's what you have to do. Get away from this name calling. It's ridiculous. It is. You're starting to do exactly what you were doing on Twitter and what everybody hated. Now, I like it, but I'm a Trump fan. I'm going to vote for him anyway. That's not who you're trying to sweet talk. You're trying to sweet talk these people that are undecided and whatever they call themselves, independent, whatever. Clueless would be my name. You need to work on the clueless, the undecided, and the independents. And that's and believe me, that is a segment of society right there. And it's a pretty good size segment. Yeah, you got to make sure that these people go out, register to vote, and show up on election day as well. Okay, that's something you got to push. You cannot allow someone like Nikki Haley to suck you back in. You just can't do it. And I wish, and I hope that he's going to take this. I hope somebody's going to give him this advice. Do that, and also make abortion something that we're not talking about much. You can mention it occasionally, but don't take a hardline stand on this. Just don't, because the Democrats are going to want to use that. They've already said they're going to. They're going to use that as a weapon. They're going to use that as an issue in a 2024 election. And if the Republicans fall for that and they start making it where they're trying to ban abortion in states, it's going to hurt you. It is, in the long run. And I just don't want you to do that. I'd prefer we didn't do that. If you can keep from doing that, I think that would be a good idea. Talk about what affects people on a daily basis. See, abortion doesn't affect people on a daily basis. The price of groceries does. Your rent, the price of insurance, whether or not I've got an illegal living next door to me, or the fact that they're working there at my where I work, working right beside me, not paying taxes. That's what you got to talk about. You have to bring up subjects and talk about things that are real to real people. That's all you have to do. Don't talk in abstracts. Don't do that. Abortion doesn't affect everybody. It doesn't. Let's see here. What is the I'm looking at the tally as it stands right now. What did let's see? She got 44, almost 48%. He got 55%. That sounds close, but it's not when you consider that 70% of that 50 or 44% were actually Democrats going over to vote for Nikki Haley. So that's an ass beating. It really is. Now she's saying, what'd she say? Despite the defeat, Miss Haley insisted that the race is far from over. There are still dozens of states. That's actually true. But I think once South Carolina is over, that'll be the end of her. It really will. There's no way you can sustain that. I don't know why I don't even know where she's getting the money to run these races. Where's she getting that? Do Democrats just love throwing their money away? Because this is not going to work. Anybody with two brain cells to rub together knows that she's not going to beat this guy. Now, does she think she's vying for a vice president spot? Well, I think that's wishful thinking. I don't think that's going to happen. As a matter of fact, what was I reading today? It had to do. Oh yeah, there's been an audio recording of a senior Republican tried to bribe Carrie Lake not to run for Senate. Jeff DeWitt, he's 51 years old and he's the chair of the Arizona Republican Party, can be heard asking Lake, a close ally of Donald Trump, to name her price to stay out of politics for 2 years. He said, there are very powerful people who want to keep you out, he tells her in a conversation recorded at the start of March last year. DeWitt tells Lake, 54, one of the most public faces of the former president's MAGA movement and a woman frequently spoken of as a 2024 vice presidential pick, that he thinks Trump will lose and it's time to make way for someone else. Now, I disagree with that 100%, not to mention the fact I think the guy should be arrested for having made a statement like that. He's trying to bribe her not to run. She does not need to be vice president. She needs to win in Arizona and make sure that we've got another senator, a Republican senator in Arizona. That's what she needs to do. I disagree. I don't think it's a good idea her running for vice president. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Kerry Lake, I think he's smart enough to know it would be better to have her in the Senate. So there we go. That's something else that's happening right now. Now back to the election tonight. I'm seeing the RNC chair has said that Donald Trump is going to be the nominee. Now, I'm no fan of Ronna McDaniel. I think she's a complete and total failure as a RNC chairperson. But that's pretty telling when someone like that says that. If the RNC's on your side, you've probably not, mind you, they weren't in 2016. They didn't think much of him. When the RNC calls me asking for money or sends me a text, I always reply to him, I'll give you exactly what you gave Donald Trump in 2016, which was $0. So she's saying now, what did she say? She said, I don't see it for Nikki Haley, McDaniel told Fox News. She says, I do think there is a clear message that's coming out from the voters, which is very clear. We need to unite around our eventual nominee, which is going to be Donald Trump, and we need to make sure we beat Joe Biden. I think she's right on that. I don't care for her at all, but I think she's, like I said, she's got the broken clock syndrome. She's right twice a day, and this happens to be one of those times. He is the nominee. He will be the nominee. Nikki Haley's just going to be in the way. Now, again, I go back to, why don't we just be quiet and not mention her, Nikki Haley's name, ever again? I think that would be the way to go. So, Donald, you need to take that advice. Just act like you're running against Joe Biden and no one else. Because ultimately, that's what you're doing. Let's see. What else do we have going to do? I want to talk a little bit more about the what's going on in Texas. The Texas National Guard is continuing to set up razor wire barriers along the southern U.S. border. Now, that's despite the Supreme Court ruling that the Border Patrol can cut them down. Now, this was a 5-4 decision by the Supreme Court to allow them to go ahead and do that. And I think this is really dangerous for the country as a whole. You've got Governor Greg Abbott announcing Tuesday that the Texas National Guard will continue to place razor wire along key areas of the border like Eagle Pass. Now, I find it amazing that the Supreme Court has decided, and I do not respect Mr. Roberts and Ms. Barrett anymore. That's a terrible decision to side with the left on this. Texas has every right to defend its borders. It really does. I don't see how you could even think of giving that authority to the United States. That's Texas border. You can't. Texas has a right as a state to defend its border, just like any other state would have the right to defend its border if it's attacked by, you know, its neighbor. This is ridiculous. And this is an invasion the likes we've never seen before. I think it's great. Now, Trump or Biden was heard on a hot mic tonight, I think it was this afternoon, stating something about F-15s flying down to Texas. I don't know about you, but I don't think a civil war in Texas would be a very good thing for America right now. I think Governor Abbott has every right to do what he's doing, and I support him 100%. I don't know about you, but I mean, why wouldn't you? It seems stupid to believe that you would give your border up to someone else. I understand it's an international border, but it's Texas border too. And all they're trying to do is keep illegals from coming into the United States. And what happens? The Supreme Court rules in the favor of the Democrats. I was very, very disappointed in that. I really was. It made me angry. Very angry that he did that, or that the Supreme Court did that. John Roberts is a wuss. I've never cared for him. They apparently have something on him. He's either, I don't know, they may have pictures of him with a barn owl or something, or an underage child. I don't know what they've got on him, and I don't know what they got on Barrett. But for them to fold like that and give the left a 5-4 decision on something so important, I think Abbott should just stand the line and say, no, we're not going to do that, and see, let's just see what you'll do. Let's see what the president of the United States will do. We're going to get into a shooting battle over this, because this is very important. This could be the most important thing going on in America today. Putting everything else aside, things are so bad right now, it's not even funny. But this is a big one. Allowing people to come in to the United States illegally. We can't have that. We can't have that. And I stand behind or beside Mr. Abbott in Texas. I do. This shouldn't be done. It shouldn't be allowed. I can't even believe, what was it, Attorney General Ken Paxton also lambasted the Supreme Court for ruling against Texas' right to secure its borders. He said, and I agree, the Supreme Court's temporary order allows Biden to continue his illegal effort to aid the foreign invasion of America. This is the destruction of Texas's border barriers will not help enforce the law or keep American citizens safe. The fight is not over, and I look forward to defending our state's sovereignty. Good for them. That's exactly what they should do. I wish everybody felt like that. I wish every state felt like that. Put America first. We have to defend our borders. Without our borders, we have nothing. You've got people coming over here, and I know they're looking to do illegal and terrible things. They just are. They've admitted it. I've seen interviews with these people. Yeah, they come from all over the world, and they're looking to do us harm. And the Biden administration is letting them walk right across the border, actually handing them money and helping them out. That cannot stand. It just can't. I'm not sure, but I don't believe there's been anyone in my life that I have despised as much as I do Joe Biden and that whole cabal, that whole family of his. I know I make fun of him all the time and I say terrible things, but deep down inside, I have never felt as much ill will towards anyone in my life. I really haven't. I wish him nothing but the worst. And I hate to say that because he's the president, and that position deserves some respect. So I actually do respect the position. The position deserves respect. But the man, not even a little bit. And it's things like this that are just so in your face, anti-American, that I can't believe anybody's still on the fence about who they're going to vote for and who they want back in the White House come November. I can't believe that. How out of touch do you have to be to not have a clue and not have taken a stand and not chose someone in this race already? I don't know how you could, I don't know how anyone could pick Biden. I don't. And by the way, I don't think Biden's going to be the nominee anyway. I honestly believe that a deal's already been made to replace him at some point. And I think it's going to be right after the convention this year. I think it's in August this year. I think he will be replaced by someone. Now, I'm hearing rumblings of a couple of things, but you have to take it with a grain of salt because of the messenger. Roger Stone is saying that he's heard that Michelle Obama is Big Mike is getting ready to mount a campaign. I know that's a great choice of words. Mounting, yeah. After the convention, what they're believing is going to happen, what they think is going to happen, is they believe that Joe Biden is going to accept the nomination in August. He will go through the. Now, this is assuming that he lives that long. He will go through the process. He will get the nomination, and then as soon as the nomination's in place, he will step down. Apparently, they have put in some. I guess a clause in the DNC's I guess, Bill of Rights that states that he can do that. So they've actually paved the way for him to do that. So he can step down and he can name his successor. I personally believe, now this is just my thinking, I personally believe it's going to be Gavin Newsom. I think that would be the wise choice. Michelle Obama doesn't have any experience in this area. And not to mention the fact, because I use the phrase Big Mike, because there's some disagreement on exactly what gender he or she is. Now, whether or not you believe that or not doesn't matter. The point is, and it doesn't bother me. I don't really care. I just don't like being lied to. I mean, if Barack Obama was gay and Michelle Obama is a transgender, that's fine. I don't care. Just tell me up front, though. Don't lie to me. Now, whether or not that's true, I don't know. Ask Joan Rivers. You know, she mentioned it, and she was dead 2 weeks later. I've heard this more than once. You know, I don't know if you can believe these stories, because Roger Stone is actually the one that brought this up. Now, Roger Stone, if you don't know his name, he worked for Donald Trump. He's been a lobbyist in D.C. for years and years and years. He worked for Reagan. He worked for Nixon. He worked for, I think, Bush W., the old man Bush as well. He's a lobbyist. He's a propagandist. He likes telling stories. He likes getting people worked up. So I don't know if that's actually accurate or not. My guess is it's probably going to be Gavin Newsom, because if I was going to pick between the two, yeah, you know, Michelle Obama being in her position, I guess that would be a pretty good choice. Problem is, she has no experience at this. None whatsoever. Her old man, you know, Obama would probably be running the show at the end of the day. So we'd have a third term or a fourth term of the Obamas. I don't want that. So I don't think that's probably going to happen. I don't think they want any scrutiny and any more eyes on them. I could be wrong. Maybe in August, that's who it is. But in my opinion, it would be Gavin Newsom. He runs California. He's the governor of California. It's where Reagan came from. You know, ended up running, becoming president for two terms. Gavin Newsom, he's young, he's charismatic, he's good looking, he's well spoken, he's thin, he's got a lot of energy, a lot of things going for him. Now, I've always said that I thought if you're going to cast someone to play the devil in a movie, you know, when Satan comes to Earth, he takes the form of someone, it would be Gavin Newsom. He's good looking. He's as evil as they come. He's almost destroyed California himself single-handedly. But it still is the fifth largest economy in the world. So he has some experience. Governors are usually the good ones to have in that position, because it's kind of like the minor leagues for the big show, which would be a national stage, which would be the presidency. So, I don't know. Is that going to happen? I firmly believe it is. They do not want Biden. They know he can't win. Now, can Gavin Newsom or Michelle Obama, Big Mike, can they win if they start campaigning in August? I would say you're probably taking a few steps back when you do that. People don't like that. Now, you will have some people excited about either one of them joining the race, but When it's all said and done, Gavin Newsom hasn't done a very good job in California. That's going to hurt him. And Michelle Obama has absolutely no experience doing this. She's being the first lady does not mean you know how to run a country. It just doesn't. No matter how much people think it would be great, it's like having Oprah run for president. I don't think that's the wisest move, especially for the Democratic Party. You're kind of in a tough spot here. Now, and by the way, where does Kamala fall into this sequence? Where does she fall into it? She's the vice president. Shouldn't she be next in line? Well, they know that's not going to happen because nobody likes her. And I can't blame them. She's insane. She miss word salad. Yeah, that's not somebody you want running the country. Now, getting back to, I want to go back to Donald Trump and who he's going to choose as his running mate. Right now, the money is on Noem. I can't remember her first name. Good-looking governor from South Dakota. I'd say she's probably in the running. I'd say she's Right now, I think her odds are 3-1. So she's the favorite. Vivek Ramaswamy is number two. So it goes down the list from there. Ron DeSantis is probably not going to be in that group. I don't think he is. I don't think Donald Trump wants someone to upstage him. You know, he's still an egotist. He is. He's got a big ego. He doesn't want somebody, I guess attracting all the spotlight. I don't think he wants that. Now, if you had, I believe her name's Chrissy Noem, isn't it? I can't remember what her name is, from South Dakota. Good looking gal. She's very attractive. And Trump seems to like having good looking women around. So it kind of makes sense when you think about it. Now, Vivek Ramaswamy, will he have a position in this administration? I think he will. I think he's very intelligent. He'd be a good one to put at the head of the FDA. You could put him anywhere. This guy's brilliant. I like him. He's an up and comer. He's young. Would he be presidential material down the road? Absolutely. I think without a shadow of doubt he is. He's kind of like a younger Donald Trump. He's a billionaire. He's made all the money himself. I kind of like him. They got some good people waiting in the wings. I think this is great. I think it's great for everybody. But I think Noem would probably be, it would be my choice. She would be my choice. I mean, obviously, if I had my rathers, I'd rather have Tucker Carlson as vice president. I think he'd be great to have. He's knowledgeable. He knows about DC. He knows how it works. And personally, I think Trump should have Newt Gingrich on his in the White House somewhere. He could be chief of staff. I don't care. Newt knows how. Newt would be the equivalent of James Baker, who James Baker was to Ronald Reagan. You need somebody in the White House that knows how that city works, how that town works, who's to believe, who not to believe. I think Newt Gingrich would be a key element in that. I think he would be key at that. He knows how that place works. He knows who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. I mean, I've not always agreed with Newt on a lot of things, but he does know that politics. He really does. So that would be one for me. If I had my rathers, I would choose him. There's a lot of people to choose from. But as far as vice president, I think Trump's already made his mind up, and I think it's going to be a woman. Because for one thing, he doesn't want to be upstage. I think he would feel comfortable having a woman in the background. Yeah, and someone he could trust, someone who's you know, has some knowledge, has some experience. And I think that would be the way to go. Let's see. Moving right along. I don't know if you saw this, but Alex Soros. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about, but that's George Soros's son. Put out a tweet yesterday. I think it was a day ago. And his tweet, if you haven't seen it, I'm probably going to put it up on screen for this segment. He said last year the crime and inflation crisis largely evaporated. So did the leading theories about what had caused them. And in the tweet, it shows a picture. It's a split screen. On the left-hand side is a bullet hole through glass. And on the right-hand side is $47 in cash. So it's a direct reference to Donald Trump becoming the 47th president. I mean, you'd have to be an idiot not to see that. How do people get away with this? How is this possible? This is a direct threat to the president, the president of the United States. He's a former president. You're basically saying that it would be a good idea to put a bullet in him. That's not wise. That's scary to think that they have the audacity to put something like this out. It really is, when you think about it. I mean, that's ballsy. And they know there will be no repercussions over it. They know it. Because we have a clueless and a spineless FBI. We've got a clueless and a spineless and a bought Department of Justice. Nobody's going to do anything about that. I think it's a shame. I really do. I'm embarrassed for my country. I really am. To know that someone, especially in a position of power who has a lot of money, can do something so in your face. you know, basically saying what we need to do is take out the president, or you know, the former president. It just smacks of assassination. It does. And I've heard that word tossed around quite a bit. I have. CNN's used it. It's been in the news. People have laughed about it when they're on a hot mic. Reporters have, about him being killed. It's I don't know. How have we as a nation fallen to this level? Really? How did this happen? Is it the fact that people just absolutely cannot stand each other anymore? Does it have to do with social media? Where does this all come from? Where does this come from? Where does this hatred come from? Why don't we just try? I hate to sound like Rodney King, but why can't we just get along? We don't have to fight all the time. How about we move towards a common goal? The problem is they don't want to get along. They make more money when there's chaos. The evil people out there love it when things are, they would love a race war right now. They'd love a civil war. Oh, they'd clean up on that. Yeah. It's like looting. You know, when there's a riot going on, what's the first thing, you know, the scumbags of the world do? They start breaking glass and going into stores and stealing stuff. That's the same thing here. And there's no police around to stop you. Same thing here. Yeah. With chaos comes money and power. They're allowed to loot the world when that happens. And they're doing everything they possibly can. We are looking at a very serious issue down in Texas right now. What if they do start a shooting match with the Texas National Guard? What are we going to do then? You're going to have basically a civil war going on. Texas will be right in the middle of it. It scares me to no end. I keep waiting. Like every morning I wake up, I've told you this before, and I imagine I'm not the only one that does it. I wake up thinking, oh my God, what is going on today? What has happened while I was asleep? I mean, we've got terrible things going on. You've got, well, Trudeau right now. You remember what he did to the truck drivers up there? Well, now the attacks on the Canadian truck drivers have been declared unconstitutional. Well, a little bit late, wouldn't you say? I love this kind of stuff. Just like the FBI saying the other day that they've decided that the Hunter laptop is real. Oh, really? Well, that's like just 4 years too late. Yeah. I don't know. I shake my head every day. I sure do. For the life of me, I don't understand why everybody is so horrible to one another anymore. I see tweets on Twitter. Has the world gone insane? What's going on? What's going on? No one has any manners anymore. We talk such a tough game when we're behind a keyboard. Have you noticed that? People will say things on social media, be it Facebook, be it Twitter, it doesn't matter. Comments, just hateful comments. Hateful comments. Are people that miserable? Because I'm beginning to think they are. And they take it out on other people because they're so miserable. Yeah, you see it all the time. You go uptown. I mean, the vast majority of people in this country are miserable. I don't know why. Is it because of social media? I think it's a big part of it. I think that they feel they're not living up to the standard that's been shown to them on these social media sites. They're saying, "Oh, I don't have enough money. I don't have the right car. My kid's not doing good in school, and all these other people are." Let's go back. Let's step back here a second. Come with me. I want to go back in time just a little bit. Do you remember, and I'm sure you do, what we used to call, and used to get them during Christmas quite a bit? You would get a brag letter. You remember those? A brag letter. Your distant cousin or someone you know, a friend of yours, they would send you a nice, well-written letter. Yeah, it probably wasn't written by hand, but the point is they go through what has happened in the last year in their family. And it's always positive. It's so wonderful. It's, you know, Johnny did this and Sally did this And my husband and I, because we love each other so much, we took a trip and it was so wonderful. And my husband, he's got a great job and I've got a great job. And the kids are all going to college and they're going to be in, one's going to be in Yale and the other one's going to be in Harvard. And they just go on and on. I hated those letters. I hated them because I knew for a fact that was all bullshit. No one's life is like that. No one. Everybody's got trouble. You know, nobody ever mentions the kid that got arrested for DWI twice or the girl that got knocked up. Nobody mentions that. Well, it's all positive and it makes you, it's there to make you feel bad. They want you to believe that their life is perfect and that yours isn't. That's what this is all about. That is social media in a nutshell. It really is. It really is. No one's life is like what they say on social media. It's just not. Everybody's got trouble. But the problem is the person reading that gets all upset because they believe that somehow or other they've failed. They've failed. My life's not like that. Look at this. You know, Timmy and Sally, they're doing great. My kids, I can't get them out of the basement. Neither one of them have jobs. You know, the husband, he's, you know, he just got laid off. You know, yes, that happens. That's life. Things happen. But when you allow yourself to get all worked up about it and you take it seriously and you believe that somehow or other you've failed because all of these other stories are being told out there and you are not a part of it, it does. It makes you angry. It does. I see it all the time. You can see it in traffic. You can see it in lines. You can see how many videos have you seen online right now of people getting into arguments over nothing in a Walmart? Outright brawls. You know, it's something I've never seen before. I've never seen this kind of behavior before. I really haven't. Now, it is possible that this has been going on all the time for the last 30 years. This could be have been happening all the time. And the fact that everybody's got a phone now and can record it, maybe that's part of the problem. I don't know. It could be. It could be. But I find it that to me, it seems like people are a lot more hateful than they used to be. Now, I could be wrong on that too. Maybe I'm overly sensitive, but I got to tell you, folks, when I go uptown, I'm not looking for a fight. I'm as friendly as they come. I'm polite. I open the door for women, children, fine. Yeah, no problem. I want everybody to get along. We're walking down the aisle. Somebody walks in front of me. I'll say, excuse me, even though it wasn't my fault. That kind of stuff. Not anymore. People are gunning and they're looking for a fight. They really are looking for a reason to be pissed off. I mean, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Now, having said that, with a population like that, I am very worried about what these people believe in. Are these the undecideds? Are these the independents? Is that part of the problem? Are these people, are they uneducated voters, uninformed voters? Possibly, possibly. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I worry about this. I worry about this. I don't know. Can we turn this around? I don't know if we can or not. I don't know. It's pretty bad when you, and believe me, you know what I'm talking about. Do you like going uptown and being around a bunch of people you don't know? I don't. I really don't. And I'd say the vast majority of people are like that. I mean, I've seen people standing in line when someone will do something. I see the eye roll. It's like, oh, God, here we go again. Exactly. All I want to do is be left alone. That's it. That's it. I don't want to hear your problems. I don't want to hear them. I don't. No, most people don't. Most normal people do not. It's not that I didn't want to help someone. I could help you. I've helped people jump their car out in the parking lot. I've helped people change tires. I've done all that. But 9 times out of 10, the people that I'm helping are worth helping. You know what I mean? They're courteous. They're asking for help. They don't have that chip on their shoulder. It looks like I don't like you. That kind of look. I don't like that. I don't like that. Not to mention the fact we've got the drug issue in this country that's unbelievable. And on top of everything else, believe me, when you're driving down the street, if you see 10 cars, I guarantee you 4 of them have been drinking. That's how bad it's gotten in this country. Yeah. Now, is that a direct result of social media? I'd say it is. I'd say a portion of it is. People are not happy with their lives at the moment. So, how do we turn that around? Well, under the Biden administration, and you mix in COVID and what all's happened over the past 6 years, it's going to take a while to turn this around. And 4 years of Trump, let's say he gets elected in November, he's got one term left. That's it. You're not going to turn this thing around in 4 years. I want to make sure everybody's aware of that. He is not the solution to this problem. He's not the end solution. This is going to take a lot of work, and there are going to be more than one person involved in this. He's going to help. He's going to do his best, but he's going to be fought every step of the way. They're going to fight him and put obstructions in front of him every step of the way. So it's going to take a while to do this. I would say a decade would probably be my guess. If we can get out of this, if we can turn the boat around, it's going to take a decade of hard work from everybody. And that's a long time. You figure kids that's in kindergarten today, they'll almost be graduating high school before everything starts to make a turn. Yeah, and that's sad. That's sad. The damage that Joe Biden has done at this point, the damage that he's done, it's going to take a long time to repair it. And it's just a multitude of things. You know what I'm talking about. So anyway, end on that great note, right? Sorry about that. I just had to say that, though, because I'm not a big fan of social media. I read it. I try not to interact on it too much, but there are some really hateful people out there and stupid people. Oh, my goodness. Some of the things they say, unbelievable. But anyway, that's all I got today. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. You get a chance, forward this, you know, send this on to somebody else that maybe wants to hear it. I'm going to be on more and more. We're going to talk about a lot of things. It's going to be a wild year, folks, a wild year. So that's all I got today. It is January 23rd. And Joe Biden is the worst president in American history. Let's go, Brandon.
As always, thanks for listening to the Average Joe podcast. Be sure to check out our website at www.averagejoenation.media and follow us on social media. Remember, if you haven't told all your friends, you're wrong.